This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
It takes a lot of hard work to make it look easy. This Mother's Day, Duluth Trading Co. can help you give her something that keeps up. Whether you prefer to shop online or in-store, Duluth has a motherload of gear, goods, and gifts to keep her comfortable and capable, no matter what needs doing. With Duluth's problem-solving details and legendary durability to boot, you'll finally be mom's favorite again. Check out DuluthTrading.com for all your Mother's Day gifting needs.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. You can subscribe to the magazine by visiting classical-music.com or to our interactive iPad edition by visiting itunes.com. BBC Music Magazine is now an official Apple Music curator, and you can listen to our exclusive playlists by visiting applemusic.com/BBCMM. This month I'm joined by reviews editor Rebecca Franks to talk about our April issue's recording of the month. This time it's a recording of Handel's Water Music, performed by the Academy for Alte Musik Berlin, and it's on the Harmonia Mundi label. Rebecca, it's a very refreshing recording, isn't it? It's one of those recordings like, I don't know, Vivaldi's Four Seasons, that you kind of think there are hundreds of recordings out there of it, but this seems to stand apart.
Yes, you might well ask, do we need another recording of this music, some of Handel's most famous music? There are lots of recordings out there, but I think the answer is yes, when the playing is this good and it comes up this fresh, with so many vivid colours and varied timbres and just brilliant ensemble and musicianship, I think when you hear it, you will agree that we do need it.
Well, let's hear an extract, actually, from Suite Number 2. It's the hornpipe. And I think here you can hear many lines in the orchestration that I think have sort of been obscured in many recordings in the past. So that was an extract from the Aller Hornpipe from Suite Number 2 from Handel's Water Music. Nice and swift, very full of ceremonial pomp. Just great dramatic stuff. Perfect for a party on the Thames, I think.
Yes, there's always this wonderful background story to this music that I think is probably part of its charm as well, which is that this was written for outdoors to be played on the Thames on these royal river parties. And there's a particularly good account of an evening in July in 1717 when this music was played by 50 musicians for King George I. And I think they liked it so much they had to play it, you know, three times. And you can just imagine them sort of floating down the Thames with this wonderful music playing.
Yes, provided it didn't rain, of course.
Yeah, British weather aside.
But it must have been wonderful to be able to, you know, process up the Thames with this music sort of blaring out.
Well, apparently there were lots of other boats there on the river as well, sort of around the royal group, who all there to hear this music.
And as far as I can tell from Simon Hayes's fascinating notes, there were other people who used this music for their own parties up and down the Thames. It wasn't just exclusively for the king. I think a lot of people then used this music in either for their own outdoor parties or, you know, in concert halls, in theatres. So this music really gained a very wide audience.
Yes, I mean, there's a certain amount of sort of doubt, I suppose, around exactly when this was written for and which occasion, because there are no surviving autograph scores, but we you know, have parts and we have manuscripts, and because it was so popular so quickly, you know, we have all the music, and they brought it together in this particular grouping of the three suites, the 22 movements.
But one thing is not doubted is it's very grand music. And I think in our next extract, it's the overture to the suite number one, the Largo, which I think really sort of paints Handel as the sort of supreme, sort of almost French composer. That was an extract from the overture to the suite number one. Brings to mind, I suppose, these sort of activities of Louis XIV, this kind of thing that he might have done, have sort of parties down the River Seine, I suppose. Handel might have been trying to sort of recreate the sort of the glitz and glamour of the Versailles music scene. But you know, ironic given that he was a German composer writing for an English king, well, a sort of German-English king, and here we have French music.
Yes, a real melting pot here of different nationalities. And what I like about that extract we've just heard as well is you really get the sense of the ensemble sort of breathing and feeling the music together, which I think, again, is one of the real sort of triumphs on this recording, that these, I think, there are 26 musicians playing here, and the tightness of the ensemble is really remarkable, actually.
They don't have a conductor either.
No, I think, and they stand up when they're playing, and they, you know, they obviously work together a lot, so they, you know, there's that certain sense of sort of osmosis, perhaps, and sort of just being aware and being attentive to what everybody's doing. But I think it really pays dividends with this music.
Yeah, I was hearing a lot of this music as if for the first time, I have to say. And there's a lot of, I mean, we all know the sort of the overtures and the hornpipes, but some of the music is very intimate, as I think we're going to hear from the second minuet from suite number three. So that was an extract from the second minuet from suite number three, really demonstrating, I think, the intimacy of this music. And it's, you know, part of these suites that I think one forgets in the face of a lot more of the sort of more lively movements, I think.
Yeah, and the well-known movements. And actually, you know, in the magazine, we talked to the concertmaster of the orchestra, and he was saying they wanted to wait, really, until they tackled this really popular music, because you want to save the best for last. But actually, they've got yet more great projects coming up. Also out on Harmonia Mundi, they've got the Bach's St. John Passion with René Jacobs. So that's coming up quite soon. And actually last year they were nominated for an award for their sort of evocative portrait of Venice.
Yeah, they're very, very inventive ensemble, actually.
Yes, so, yeah.
Lovely sort of repertoire choices, actually.
Yeah.
So I think we should end with another extract from this wonderful disc. It's the Bourée from Suite number 3. Gosh, the playing really is finely wrought, spontaneous almost. It's absolutely brilliant stuff.
Yes.
It's sort of addictive almost listening.
It is, the energy there, it almost reminds me of Nielsen symphonies when they have the Battle of the Timpani there, bursts out.
Yes, really going for it there, I think. Yeah. A bit of sort of improvising, yeah. A wonderful introduction to that. So that brings us to the end of our discussion of the April issues, Recording of the Month. Join us next month. We'll be talking about the May issues, Recording of the Month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.